Hello and welcome to this month's Sales Transformation Mastermind Coaching Call. I am so excited to be here with you all. We have a ton of people who I know have joined for this month's call, and we've got some really great ideas to discuss as a result of some of the questions on the forum. Like I always do, I just want to start this call by saying that if you are not in the forum, get in there. It is the absolute best way to get insight, to get advice, and you get it directly from me and other people in the community. But I am constantly checking it. I always do my best to answer questions as quickly as I can. And I mean, it is just such an insane resource. You get direct access. You can ask any sales-related question. So if you haven't used it yet, just get in there. Ask any question. Just or comment on something. Just you know, get involved, because this is such a powerful way to be a part of a community of like-minded sales superstars, people that are either there or on their way, and everything in between. So with that said, I have some amazing questions from folks in the forum that I want to share, I want to elaborate on, I want to tell you more about. You obviously can read some of my responses to the questions directly in the forum, but there were some that really stuck with me that I've put more thought into and just want to go deeper into. And so the first question comes from Sandra, who is one of our all-star posters right now. And she's new to the forum. And Sandra writes the question. She says, last few weeks, I've spoken with a couple of prospects who very quickly asked me to tell them about what about how my company is different, what sets them apart, why they should buy from me, etc. And, you know, so I'm educating potential business owners about senior home care franchising and understand the question, but I also know that I can't give them a good answer until I know more about what they're looking for and more about their goals and background. And not everyone is a good fit for us. So what are the best ways to say that without sounding evasive? And so basically, Sandra's question is essentially, you know, someone says, you know, what makes you different, or why should I do business with you, right? And this is the reason I love to focus on this question, is because it's really the core of what my whole sales philosophy is, which is, I think we want to compare the two competing universes of responses to the question of what makes you different or why should I do business with you, right? I mean, pretty typical, pretty common prospect question. And so let's first explore what the traditional, the old school sales trainers would have told you to say in response to that. And what they would have said, and by the way, what most people are doing, what probably a lot of people on this call have done for many years, is their immediate response is to beat their chest and to talk about how great they are. They'll say things like, oh, well, we have the best service, or we have the best offering, or we've been doing this for 75 years and no one can do a better job than us, and we're going to meet your needs and you'll get direct access to me, right? They're going to brag. They're going to talk about how great they are and all that. And, you know, I think the challenge that we see with that is that it does two things. One is it puts the salesperson immediately in a position of trying to qualify themselves to the prospect. It immediately puts them in a position of inferiority in a way, because, you know, it's almost like a date, right? I mean, if someone says, so like, why should I date you, right? And then if you come back and you say, oh, well, because I do this and that, it's like, if you just think of the power dynamic, right, you're qualifying yourself to that other person. And so immediately you're going to be seen in the selling perspective as lower value in the eyes of the prospect, because whatever you say is going to make you look like you're trying to get the sale. The other thing that it does is it makes you look like every other salesperson, because every other salesperson is beating their chest. They're saying, oh, well, we have the best you know, the best this, best that, we're great at this, right? And the reality is that your prospect is going to think in their head, like, well, obviously 90% of what this person's saying is complete bull, right? I mean, they're going to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, if you ask a salesperson at a car dealership, you know, why should I buy from your dealership? They're going to say all these things, oh, we got the best price, we got this, and you're going to think to yourself, well, I'm sure that's not true, right? And so So the key challenges that you're creating is, one is that you're putting yourself in a position of inferiority. Next is that you're looking like everyone else, so thus you're seeming lower value. And lastly, you're losing control of the selling situation by whatever you're going to say. And so Sandra's question is so great because she clearly has, and I know Sandra's taken the Sales Strategy Academy course already, so she already knows that she shouldn't respond using the traditional approach of how great we are. But I think she's getting caught up. And so let me give you an example of a response, the newer strategy, the modern approach to selling, which is going to take a lot of people out of their comfort zone because it's going to be very different. So, George the prospect says, sell me on what makes your company different, or sell me on what makes your company better, right? Typical salesperson is going to beat their chest, say how great they are. Instead, what I want you to do is I want you to say something like, "You know what, George? I love that question. That's a great question. And I'd be happy to get into that in a couple of minutes, but right now, I'm not even sure if we really are a good fit for you. Would it be okay if I asked you some questions to get a better sense of your situation? And then I'd be happy to let you know if I think we're a fit. Does that sound okay?" Now, 99% of the time, they're going to be like, "Yeah, of course, sure." Right? And so let's break down first what you accomplish with that, and then let's actually break down the wording of it. So first, let's think about what I've just accomplished by doing that, right? I have now taken back control of the selling situation, right? Because I'm basically saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to put myself in this inferior position. I'm going to be like, "Man, I don't know. I genuinely don't know," right? So that's one. Two, I've come off as the expert, right? I look like a doctor. I look like a, you know, I don't look like a salesperson or a consultant. I look like someone who is busy, who has things going, is financially independent, is successful, and I'm not easy to get, right? I mean, think of a restaurant, right? When you go to a restaurant, do you want to go to the place when you call to make a reservation and they're like, "Oh, sure, yeah, we've got nothing but reservations. I mean, we've got reservation. Pick your time, you know." Or are you more interested in the place that's like, "Oh, actually, we're booked up for a week, but we can make a reservation for you in a week potentially. I might be able to squeeze you in," right? And then you're thinking like, "Wow, what's their secret sauce, right? What's so great about this?" And that's exactly what you do. You flip the script because you're taking back control of the selling situation because you're coming off as professional, as successful, as not needing this business. Now, you may need the business, you may need the sale, but the more you can show the prospect that you don't need it, the more you are going to attract that person into your life. And so those are the two big things that you're accomplishing. And actually, the third thing is now you have control, so you can start to ask questions, right? Which means that you have control again, because it's the person who's asking the questions who's really got the control. So now let's break down the language. Because I think this is where Sandra was getting caught up before. I think she got the idea of what we were trying to accomplish with this approach, but where she got stuck was on the specific language. And so, if you've got a pen and paper, I mean, just write this down. It's literally gold. So next time someone says, "Sell me on what makes you different," or "Tell me on what makes you better," I want you to say something like this: "George, I love that you asked that question." Now, write that down, George, or whatever their name is. "I love that you asked that question." Now, why do I say that? The reason that we'll start with that is because we always want to, questions like this, I think these are the most annoying questions on the planet, right? Like, "Why should I do business with you?" Or what makes you better? What makes you different?" They're like the bane of every salesperson. They're super annoying. They're frustrating. It's kind of just it's a jerk question. I mean, I get why they ask it, but it's like, from my perspective as a salesperson, I'm like, "Oh God, not one of these questions again," right? So anytime you get a question like that's an annoying question to answer. First is I want you to hold your feet to the fire, that you're not going to just jump ahead and jump through the hoop and answer whatever it is they ask. That's a big mindset shift. But the other is that you're gonna want to, anytime someone asks you those kind of annoying questions, I want you to compliment the question. Like it, make it like it's a great question. Because when you compliment something, you get them to, they feel good. They get this little bump of oxytocin, right? Which is the drug that you feel when you like hold your child or when you hold a puppy in your hands. It's literally the chemical that your body produces that feels good. And when we compliment people, they immediately get that feeling of oxytocin. They feel good. You say, great. That's a great question. Or I love that you asked that question, right? So that's the first part. So then let me move on to the next part. So George, I love that you asked that question. It's a great question. And I'd be happy to get into that in a couple of minutes. But for right now, I'm not even sure if we are a good fit for you. So time out. Let's break that part down, right? So first, love that question, right? Compliment. And then we're saying, I'd be happy to get into that in a couple of minutes, or I'd be happy to get into that shortly. And so now we're saying, we're making a commitment that we are going to answer that question, right? Because I think you don't want people to feel like you're just being evasive. You want them to feel like, okay, this person is going to answer my question. So I'd be happy to get into that shortly. But right now, I'm not even sure if we are a good fit for you. Just, I mean, there, if you could see my, I'm doing like the head exploding motion with my hand, right? Their mind is going to be blown when they hear that. And it is. It is when you do that. It's the most, in my opinion, saying I'm not sure that we should do business with you is like potentially one of the most powerful things that you can do in sales. Because the prospect is just not expecting you to say that. Because they're expecting to be sold, right? I mean, traditional salespeople, old school, cheesy salespeople, I mean, that's 99.999% of the salespeople they've ever met. In fact, they might not have ever even met a salesperson like you before. And instead, you're just like going to stand out from the crowd in a way that just is magnificent. And I'm not just making this up, right? I mean, this is proven stuff. The data shows that lots of studies show that people are tremendously turned off by the high pressure sales approach. And so what we're doing is we're saying, like, I'm not going to play into that high pressure game. Instead, I'm going to actually pull away. And what you're immediately doing is you look like that busy doctor who has a million things going on. And if you don't want to be the patient, that's okay. And by the way, and it's genuine, right? So Sandra sells franchises. And so, you know, she doesn't know if everyone's a fit, right? And for your product and service too, right? You don't know that every single person you come across is a fit. Right? That's why I share the whole philosophy of disqualification. So if you've gone through my Sales Strategy Academy course, or you've read my books, or you've gone through any of my programs, you'll know, or even watch some of my videos, right? I talk about this idea of disqualifying, right? We don't want to be salesy. We don't want to push ourselves onto people. In fact, we want to disqualify the people that aren't a fit. And this is going to just set you apart in such a powerful way from everyone else. And so by saying, look, I'm not sure if we are a good fit for you, what's going to be happening in their head is immediately they are going to say, like, whoa, this is really a different experience than I'm used to. I'm so used to someone trying to kind of push themselves on me. Instead, this person's pulling back. I'm attracted to that. Human nature, science shows us that when people don't seem like they need us, immediately we're more intrigued with it. And this is exactly the same case here. I can just give you an example. A client of mine a couple of weeks ago, I did a big training for a large company. And at the end of the training, it went really well. People were psyched. And I taught this concept. And at the end of the training, the CEO of the company goes up in front of the whole group. It's like a couple hundred people. And he says, you know, everyone, I just want you to know that this guy, Mark, not only teaches this stuff, but he uses it. He said, when we first started looking for someone to work with our team, we reached out to a bunch of different people and we interviewed folks and we asked every single one of them, why should we do business with you? And all of them, you know, gave us compelling answers. But Mark was the only one to say, well, you know what? I'm not sure that you should. Would it be okay if I ask some questions to see if it is a fit? And then I can tell you if I think that I would be the right person. And he said, when I heard that, I couldn't believe it. Because the CEO saying this, the CEO saying, I thought to myself, why wouldn't this guy want to do business with us? Of course he wants to do business with us. But I don't want to get rejected, right? And so he explained this to the team, and it's so true, right? I mean, I live by this stuff, and I want you to live by it too. I mean, whether it's getting asked a question by a prospect that's direct like that, like why should I do business with you, or more just as a mindset shift, I want you to start to publicly and openly get into the mindset of, I'm not sure if it is a fit. Even when you're making a prospecting call and you're literally cold calling someone, right? And so of course you're trying to sell them, but I want you to, when you're on the phone with them, constantly flirt with the idea that, you know what, maybe this isn't going to be a fit, right? So if you're asking them some questions and they're answering and they're into it and you're like, I so appreciate this, and at this point I'm still not entirely sure if it is a fit, but would it be okay if I asked you one or two more questions to really get a sense? And what you're going to do is you're going to convey so much confidence, so much expertise, that it is going to be a game changer. So let me just finish the statement. I know I've been talking about this for a while, but it is, in my opinion, this is one of the top three most powerful concepts in sales. So let me go through the whole line again, and again, you can take notes, and I'll finish the last part. So prospect says, sell me on what makes your company different, and then I say, as the salesperson, George, I love that you asked that question. It's a great question. And I'd be happy to answer that in a couple of minutes, but right now I'm not sure if we really are the right fit for you. Would it be okay if I ask some questions to first just get a better sense of your situation? Then I'd be happy to let you know if I do think you're a fit. So that's the whole line. For those of you that are, there's some people obviously on the call live right now. You can't replay it, but tomorrow we're going to release the recording of this. So if you need to, you can just kind of scroll to this and listen to the whole line, and make sure you've written it down. Hopefully you have. But that last part, which is just very simple, so after you've said, I'm not sure if we would be a fit, and then you just say, would it be okay if I ask some questions to just get a better sense of the situation, and then I'd be happy to tell you if I think we're a fit. Does that sound okay? Right. And the I have to say, in a situation where I was actually talking to a prospect that was on like a scheduled call, I've never had someone be like, no, I want you to just answer the question. I've never had that happen. In a cold calling situation, it's a little it, there's a little potentially a little more potential for pushback. But once you've actually got someone in a conversation, you're very unlikely to get that pushback. I think, people see this and it makes them uncomfortable, and so then they're just imagining everything that could go wrong. But the reality is that this line works. So just use it. And so that last part, that last sentence is just basically, again, it's taking back control of the situation and saying, can I ask some questions, just to see if they were fit. And now you've opened the door to have complete control to then go into that disqualification process, right? So, from there, what I'm doing to transition the conversation away from this, what I consider a really annoying and a little bit debasing conversation about why they should do business with me, like why am I okay or why am I better, right? I want to get away from that crap, and I want to get back to them talking about their challenges. So once I've gotten permission, so they say, I say, would it be okay if I ask you some questions, get a better sense of the situation, then I'm happy to let you know if I think we're a fit. And they say, yeah, of course, fair enough. And then immediately what I'm going back into, depending on where in the conversation this has been, is I'm going back into their challenges. I want to dig back into their challenges. So I'd be like, okay, so you told me earlier about in my case, you told me earlier about your challenges with your sales team. Can you just paint me more of a picture of what exactly is going on there, right? Or just tell me more about those challenges with your sales team, right? And now I'm going right back into the disqualification process. And what I want to do is I want to just, that's going to be the value. That's where I'm going to create the value, is digging into the challenges. And then from there, asking questions about, the upside value to solving those challenges, things like, if you were able to solve this challenge, what would it mean to the company in dollars right now? And they're like, oh man, if we could solve these challenges, we'd be doing at least $10 million more. Right now, that's how I'm creating huge value, right? This is how I do $500,000 consulting contracts with companies, is because I charge way more than anyone else out there. I mean, there's no one even close. And the reason is because I'm able to create so much value in that sales process, where I'm helping them actually literally do math, right? And so, this strategy, this philosophy of you don't play the game that they play the game that you want to play. And the game that you want to play is you want to ask great questions of prospects and determine whether there's a fit. And by the way, it's not always going to be a fit, right? We always say that in the game plan selling approach. It's not always a fit, right? At least 50% of your prospects aren't going to be a good fit. Sleep like a baby knowing that it wasn't a fit, right? And so are you going to lose some? Sure. You know, not a big deal. But what I love about, you know, Sandra's question really is, you know, she's almost there, but she was missing the part about really complimenting the prospect. I had a mentor who once said, you can literally say anything to a prospect. You can say anything you want to a prospect in a prospect meeting. Insult them. You can do anything. And of course, he was being tongue in cheek, but he said, but you have to start by complimenting them. So if you start with a compliment, then you can ask them literally anything. You say, you know what, George, that is such an impressive compliment of your company. So let me ask you this, right? And you could literally say anything after that, because you've made them feel good. And so you're not coming off as confrontational. You're coming off as just really positive. And so they're going to feel really, really good about that. And they're going to play by your game. And if they, for some reason, in a 1 in 200 chance they didn't want to play by your game, then so what? Move on. Next. Like one of my other mentors used to say, I think it's SW cubed, right? Some will, some won't. So what? Next. Yeah. So it's SW cubed N. some will, some won't. So what? Next, right? I mean, let's just be clear. You're not going to win them all. Be willing to take some risks. It's the salespeople who take the risks that have the biggest rewards. There's no question. So be willing to take risks. I can't wait to hear the results of this approach. So I hope that was useful. I spent some time on that, but I think it's so, so critically important. It is so critically important. So that is the... I think we took a broad approach to really setting yourself apart from the competition, right? I mean, what you want your prospects to think is, wow, this person is different. You don't want them to think, wow, this guy's a great sales guy, or this gal, she's great at sales, right? You don't want them to think that, because that means there's alarm bells going off. What you want them to think is, wow, this person doesn't feel like a typical salesperson. They seem different, right? That's what you want them to say. When you have that, then you're just going to be unstoppable. So hope that was helpful. Let's go on to the next question, because I think this one is going to be, we're going to focus on a very different topic, which I think is equally valuable. So Sonal, who is also new to our forum, and I'm psyched that he is posting and asking questions. So Sonal writes, the title of his question is, problem getting the VPs, directors, etc. in sales and marketing. Please help. So he says, I sell cloud-based sales and marketing and service automation software for a big company. My market is India, and I'm based in Malaysia. I have to open business relationships with CXOs. I actually don't, I don't know what a CXO is. But it's obviously a C-level person. So I have to build relationships with CXOs on the phone and do the whole qualification. Currently, my opening sounds like, hi, my name is Sonal. You and I haven't ever spoken before, but I understand you're the VP in marketing at XYZ. Just to give you a quick background, I'm part of the Oracle CX team. And the reason I'm calling you is because I've been talking to a lot of marketing leaders in your industry, and they tell me that XYZ is a challenge to them. Does that resonate with you? And then he writes, my And by the way, I'm assuming he's saying like he's listing off a number of challenges. So it's pretty darn close to what I teach, but I'll show you some nuance in a second. He says, "My problem is that people refuse to discuss their challenges or anything with me. Please suggest a better way to do it." So there's a couple of things that I want to start with. He definitely has some script issues that we're gonna dig into. He also has some strategy issues that we're gonna dig into. But what I would like to congratulate him on is that he's calling C-level people. He's cold calling on C-level people and VPs of big companies. And that is awesome. That is kick ass. And I think not enough of us are doing that. We're sticking to our comfort zone. We're sticking to the lower level prospects. And so power to you, Sonal, for doing what you're doing, because I think it's amazing. What he starts by suggesting is that it's really hard. And a lot of times they're not nice to me and they don't want to talk. And the reality is that's cold calling, right? I mean, you're cold calling a prospect who has no idea who you are. You got through somehow, and you get them on the phone, and they're like, "Dude, I'm busy. Go away," right? "I have no idea who you are." And so let's first just start by appreciating that this stuff is hard, because if it were easy, everyone would do it. And everyone, because you can make a lot more money in sales calling on chief sales officers than you can being in operations. And so let's just celebrate the fact that it is hard. Of course, it's hard. So I want to start with that. Secondly, I think that you do have some script issues here. So I don't know where he got the script from. It's pretty damn close to what I teach, but there's some issues that I see with it up front in particular. So I just want to quickly address the script issues. I'm not going to go too deep into the technical nature of this call, but script is critical when you're making cold calls, because if the script is off by just a little bit, you're going to turn people off. And I think his first couple of sentences are pretty salesy. So I just want to point that out, because I think that'll be helpful for everyone who's making, whether you're making a cold call or just calling on people who might know who you are. So let me just reread his just the beginning part. He says, "Hi, my name is Sonal. You and I haven't ever spoken before, but I understand that you're the VP at marketing at XYZ company. Just to give you a quick background, I'm part of the Oracle CX team, and the reason I'm calling you is because I've been talking to a lot of marketing leaders in your industry, and they tell me that blah, blah, blah is a challenge to them. Does that resonate with you?" So it's pretty good. It's just off. So first of all, the opening, whenever you're making a call to a prospect, I don't want you to ever just burst into, "Hey George, my name is Mark," and then just go right into the line. I want you to start with, "Hey George, Mark Weishak calling. Did I catch you in the middle of something?" I want you to open with that line. So Sonal or anyone else, open your calls with, "Did I catch you in the middle of something? George, did I catch you in the middle of something?" What you're going to do is you're going to trigger, that is a pattern interrupt. It is not a line that they're used to hearing, and it is going to trigger them most likely to say, "No, what's up?" They're gonna, even a busy person is much more likely, and I have a lot of data. I just did an experiment with a large client. We were able to get a 40% increase in the number of meetings set simply by changing the opening, the first 7 seconds of our script. And so I hope you are thinking about what you're doing in the first 7 seconds of your calls, because I mean, it takes a prospect less than 7 seconds to determine whether they want to continue a call. So make sure that's strong. So start with, "Hey George, Sonal here. Did I catch you in the middle of something?" Right? Totally flipping the script, really powerful. And then he goes on to say, "You and I haven't ever spoken before, but I understand you're the VP of marketing and blah, blah, blah. Just to give you a quick background, I'm part of Oracle, blah, 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 and I've been talking to a lot of marketing leaders," but it's too long, right? So what I want you to do for anyone making, if you're making cold calls or if you're just making any kind of prospecting calls, I want you to cut out all that crap in the middle. There's way too much there. It should literally be, "Hey George, Mark Weishak calling. Did I catch you in the middle of something?" And let's just say they're like, no, what's up?" And I say, "Okay, great. So I'm a sales strategist, and I work with companies to create a game plan for dramatically increasing sales. Right now, I'm hearing a lot of clients that are dealing with blah, 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 right? XYZ challenges. So what you'll see is that it's a much more intentional shortened and tightened script. So I want us to remember they don't care who we are. You know, they literally don't give a shit who we are. I want that to be really short, that sentence about who you are. And this is just a little too long. And so I think you're likely to lose people pretty quickly. What I then like that he does is he says, you know, I've been talking to a lot of marketing leaders in your industry, and they're telling me that blah, blah, blah is a challenge to them. That's pretty solid. So I don't think you have to change that, but I think you just have to tighten this up, make sure your opening is stronger, and also recognize that cold calling is really, really hard, and there's a reason people don't do it. And so that leads me to my last point about this, which is that besides his script problems, which, by the way, if you want to get more on prospecting calls in the quick training library, which you all have access to, if you're on this call, you have access to that quick training library. I have in the quick training library, just type into the search, just type in call, and there's a bunch of videos on calling, on call script, on you'll see a video of me actually making a call, so you can like really see how it's done. If you're struggling with phone stuff, get in there because there's some really, really valuable stuff in there. So some really good resources. So, and that's all free as a result of being in this program. So that's some pretty amazing value. Just get in there and just copy the approach. The last thing I just want to say about this is that if you're making straight cold calls to people who have a C in their name, like a CEO, CFO, COO, you're going to struggle when you just make pure cold calls to these people because they're really, really busy and they're really hard to get to. And just a pure cold call is in my opinion, I think I've come to the place where cold calling, pure cold calling, I just think is not the best strategy. Now that doesn't mean that you shouldn't call on people that you don't know, but I think you're going to make it warmer. And so what I mean by that is, I know some of you have the sales prospecting blueprint, which is one of my programs on creating essentially a campaign style of prospecting. And the blueprint is simply that you, and by the way, if you want to get access to that, if you don't, in the portal, in like the main part of the portal, in the home dashboard, you'll see there's a link to get the blueprint. If you don't have that, that is genuinely one of the best programs that I have because it literally lays out the entire map for prospecting to people that you don't know. And essentially to developing warm relationships with these people that you don't have access to right now. And so the campaign style approach to prospecting is essentially that instead of just making a cold call and trying to get through to them, and then when you don't, you just call them later and you just keep trying to call at random times. And when you get them on the phone, they have no clue who you are. What it means is that you want to start mixing in different things in between the calls. So I actually have a video in the quick training library as well on the prospecting campaign. If you just type in campaign into the search bar, you'll get that. And it just kind of lays out the campaign approach. So I won't get too deep into it, but basically it's like, it means that you literally map out for every prospect. And it's really the same campaign for everyone. I mean, obviously you're customizing it, but it's a series of emails, packages that you're going to send via FedEx or US mail or whatever it is, LinkedIn messages, right? So it's every time you're trying them and you're not getting through, and then as an intermediary step, you're sending them something that is of value to them. So even if you're not actually talking to them, you're starting to just develop this little relationship where they're starting to be like, oh yeah. So next time you actually call and get them on the phone, they know who you are. So I think what Sonal is doing is pretty solid, but where he's missing out is that when he actually is getting the person on the phone, they have no clue who he is. And that's a real lost opportunity because you want them to know who you are. And that can be through sending packages in the mail. I mean, the mail is a really great way to get through to people because people are doing it less and less, and people still open packages. Obviously, emails, LinkedIn messages, letters, handwritten letters, whatever it is. I mean, I lay it out in the campaign, either in the program or in just in the quick training library, which every single person on this call has free access to as a result of this program. There is a video in there on the prospecting campaign. Just type in the word campaign into your quick training library search function, and it lays out for you what some of those steps would look like. And so what you want to do is the traditional old school cold call. I just think it's really, really hard. And for someone like Sonal, who's selling to really high level people, I'm assuming he's selling a pretty big solution, because it's, you know, his company is, he's selling to chief people, C-level people. You know, that's going to make a big difference. So try not to make it hard on yourself. I think you're doing great. You know, I think just some small tweaks are going to make a big difference. And that's true of all of us, right? Just some small tweaks to what we're already doing is going to make a massive impact on our selling. So I hope that was useful. So that is going to be the end of our call today. I hope you got some value. I really wanted to dig into, I'm finding on these calls that I like taking a couple of ideas that I'm really passionate about and going really deeply into them. Rather than doing a ton of different ideas and just going like really surface level, I think. But please give feedback on the forum if you would like to see it another way. I'm always open to ideas and feedback. I do like though going really deep, because I think that's something that you don't get anywhere else from me. You know, my YouTube videos are pretty high level, and what I want to do here is just go deeper. So I hope that's useful. Like I always say, as a result of this call, just being on this call is, I mean, that sets you apart. You are in the top 1% of the 1% of people just to take the time to be here, to listen to this, and to listen to the whole thing. But what's really going to set you apart is taking action. So my challenge to you is always, what are those two or three ideas that you are going to implement as a result of being on this call? Implement that stuff. Just two, three ideas. What are two or three actions that you're going to take as a result of having listened to this today? Get your ass in gear. Do it. Go make it happen. It's not enough just to get the ideas. You've got to go implement those ideas. So if you got an idea on a call strategy, great. If you got an idea on the campaign, great. If you got an idea for disqualifying or approaching a prospect, use it today or use it tomorrow. So get out there and use this stuff. And with that said, if you have any other questions, get in the forum and ask the questions. And if I like the questions, and I mean, these were two great questions, there's other questions, but I'll either answer it in the forum for sure, and maybe I'll talk about it in the next call. So thank you for being here. Go make it happen. And I look forward to talking to you next month.